from the Katha Upanishad. Once upon a time, the son of Vajrasattva, being desirous of fruit, gave away everything. He had, as the story goes, a son named Nachiketa.
As the presents were being carried to the brahmanas, faith took possession of him, who was still a boy. He thought,
he goes to those worlds that are known as joyless, who gives away the cows that have drunk water and eaten grass for good, whose milk has been milked for the last time, and which have lost their organs.
He said to his father, "Father, to whom will you offer me?" He spoke to him a second time and a third time. To him the father said, "To death I offer you."
O Brahmana, since you have lived in my house for 3 nights without food, a guest and an adorable person as you are, let my salutations be to you, and let good accrue to me by averting the fault arising from that lapse. Ask for 3 boons, one in respect of each night.
O Death, of the 3 boons I ask, this one as the first, that my father, Gautama, may become freed from anxiety, calm his mind, freed from anger towards me, and he may recognize me and talk to me when freed by you.
Having recognized you, Audaliki Aruni will be possessed of affection just as he had before. Seeing you freed from the jaws of death, he will get over his anger and will, with my permission, sleep happily for many a night.
O Death, such as you are, you know that fire which leads to heaven. Of that you tell me who am full of faith. The dwellers of heaven get immortality. This I ask for through the 2nd boon.
O Nachiketa, being well aware of the fire that is conducive to heaven, I shall tell you of it. That very thing you understand with attention from my words, that fire which is the means for the attainment of heaven and which is the support of the world, know it to be established in the intellect of the enlightened ones.
Death told him of the fire that is the source of the world, the class and number of bricks, as also the manner of arranging for the fire. And he, Nachiketa, too, repeated verbatim with understanding all these as they were spoken. Then Death, being satisfied with this, said again,
feeling delighted that high-souled one said to him, out of favor toward you, I now grant again another boon. This fire will be known by your name indeed, and accept this multiform necklace as well.
Oh, Nachiketa, this is for you, the boon about the fire that leads to heaven, for which you prayed through the second boon. People will speak of this fire as yours, indeed. Oh, Nachiketa, ask for the third boon.
This doubt that arises, consequent on the death of a man, some saying it exists, and others saying it does not exist. I would know this, under your instruction. Of all the boons, this one is the third boon.
With regard to this, even the gods entertain doubts in days of yore. For being subtle, this substance, the self, is not easily comprehended. Oh, Nachiketa, ask for some other boon. Do not press me. Give up this boon that is demanded of me.
Even the gods entertain doubt with regard to this thing. And, O Death, since you too say that it is not well comprehended, and since any other instructor like you of this thing is not to be had, therefore there is no other boon comparable to this one.
Ask for sons and grandsons that will be centurions. Ask for many animals, elephants and gold and horses, and a vast expanse of the earth. And you yourself live for as many years as you like.
If you think some other boon to be equal to this, ask for that. Ask for wealth and long life. You become a ruler over a vast region. I make you fit for the enjoyment of all delectable things.
Whatever things there be that are desirable but difficult to get, pray for all those cherished things according to your choice. Here are these women with chariots and musical instruments. Such are not surely to be had by mortals. With these, who are offered by me, you get yourself served. Oh, Nachiketa, do not inquire about death.
O death, ephemeral are these, and they waste away the vigor of all the senses that a man has. All life, without exception, is short indeed. Let the vehicles be yours alone. Let the dances and songs be yours.
Man is not to be satisfied with wealth. Now that we have met you, we shall get wealth. We shall live as long as you will rule it. But the boon that is worth praying for by me is that alone.
Having reached the proximity of the undecaying immortals, what decaying mortal who dwells on this lower region, the earth, but knows of higher goals, will take delight in a long life while conscious of the worthlessness of music, disport, and the joy thereof?
O death, tell us of that thing about which people entertain doubt in the context of the next world, and whose knowledge leads to a great result. Apart from this boon, which relates to the inscrutable thing, Nachiketa does not pray for any other.
The preferable is different indeed, and so indeed is the pleasurable different. These two, serving divergent purposes as they do, bind men. Good befalls him who accepts the preferable among these two. He who selects the pleasurable falls from the true end.
The preferable and the pleasurable approach mankind. The man of intelligence, having considered them, separates the two. The intelligent one selects the electable in preference to the delectable. The non-intelligent one selects the delectable for the sake of growth and protection of the body.
O Nachiketa, you, such as you are, have discarded after consideration all the desirable things that are themselves delightful or are the producers of delight. You have not accepted this path of wealth in which many a man comes to grief.
That which is known as knowledge and that which is known as ignorance are widely contradictory, and they follow divergent courses. I consider Nachiketa to be an aspirant for knowledge, because the enjoyable things, multifarious though they be, do not tempt you.
Living in the midst of ignorance and considering themselves intelligent and enlightened, the senseless people go around and around, following in crooked courses, just like the blind led by the blind.
The means for the attainment of the other world does not become revealed to the non-discriminating man who blunders, being befooled by the lure of wealth. One that constantly thinks that there is only this world and none hereafter comes under my sway again and again.
of that which is not available for the mere hearing to many, and which many do not understand even while hearing. The expounder is wonderful, and the receiver is wonderful. Wonderful is he who knows under the instruction of an adept.
The self is not certainly adequately known when spoken of by an inferior person, for it is thought of variously. When taught by one who has become identified with it, there is no further cogitation with regard to it, for it is beyond argumentation, being subtler even than the atomic quantity.
The wisdom that you have, O dearest one, which leads to sound knowledge when imparted only by someone else other than the logician, is not to be attained through argumentation. You are, O compassionable one, endowed with true resolution. May our questioner be like you, O Nachiketa.
The intelligent man gives up happiness and sorrow by developing concentration of mind on the self and thereby meditating on the ancient deity who is inscrutable, lodged inaccessibly, located in the intellect and seated in the midst of misery.
After hearing this, grasping it fully, separating this righteous thing from the body, etc., and attaining this subtle thing, that mortal rejoices, for he has obtained that which is the cause of delight. I consider that the mansion of Brahman is wide open to Nachiketa.
Tell me of that thing which you see as different from virtue, different from vice, different from this cause and effect, and different from the past and the future.
I tell you briefly of that goal which all the Vedas with one voice propound, which all the austerities speak of, and wishing for which people practicing brahmacharya. It is this, Om.
This letter, syllable, Om, indeed is the inferior Brahman, Hiranyagarbha, and this syllable is indeed the supreme Brahman. Anybody who, while meditating on this syllable, wants any of the two, to him comes that.
This medium is the best. This medium is the supreme and the inferior Brahman. Meditating on this medium, one becomes adorable in the world of Brahman.
The intelligent self is neither born nor does it die. It did not originate from anything, nor did anything originate from it. It is birthless, eternal, undecaying and ancient. It is not injured even when the body is killed.
If the killer thinks of it in terms of killing, and if the killed thinks of it as killed, both of them do not know. It does not kill, nor is it killed.
The self that is subtler than the subtle and greater than the great is lodged in the heart of every creature. A desireless man sees that glory of the self through the serenity of the organs, and thereby he becomes free from sorrow.
While sitting, it travels far away. While sleeping, it goes everywhere. Who but I can know that deity who is both joyful and joyless?
Having meditated on the self as bodiless in the midst of bodies, as permanent in the midst of impermanent, and as great and pervasive, the wise man does not grieve.
The self cannot be known through much study, nor through the intellect, nor through much hearing. It can be known through the self alone that the aspirant prays to. This self of that seeker reveals its true nature.
One who has not desisted from bad conduct, whose senses are not under control, whose mind is not concentrated, whose mind is not free from anxiety about the result of concentration, cannot attain this self through knowledge.
How can one know thus as to where it, the self, is, for which both the Brahmana and the Kshatriya become food, and for which death takes the place of a curry?
Know the individual self as the master of the chariot, and the body as the chariot. Know the intellect as the charioteer, and the mind as verily the bridle.
They call the senses the horses, the senses having been imagined as horses. Know the objects as the ways. The discriminating people call that self the enjoyer when it is associated with the body, senses, and mind.
But the senses of that intellect, which being ever associated with an uncontrolled mind, becomes devoid of discrimination, are unruly like the vicious horses of the charioteer.
But of that intellect which, being ever associated with a restrained mind, is endowed with discrimination, the senses are controllable like the good horses of the charioteer.
But he, that master of the chariot, does not attain that goal through the intellect, who, being associated with a non-discriminating intellect and an uncontrolled mind is ever impure, and he attains worldly existence.
That master of the chariot, however, who is associated with a discriminating intellect and being endowed with a controlled mind, is ever pure, attains that goal, getting detached, from which he is not born again.
The man, however, who has as his charioteer a discriminating intellect, and who has under control the reins of the mind, attains the end of the road, and that is the highest place of Vishnu.
The sense objects are higher than the senses, and the mind is higher than the sense objects. But the intellect is higher than the mind, and the great soul is higher than the intellect.
The unmanifest is higher than Mahat. Purusha is higher than the unmanifested. There is nothing higher than Purusha. He is the culmination. He is the highest goal.
He is hidden in all beings, and hence he does not appear as the self of all. But by the seers of subtle things, he is seen through a pointed and fine intellect.
The discriminating man should merge the organ of speech into the mind. He should merge that mind into the intelligent self. He should merge the intelligent self into the great soul. He should merge the great soul into the peaceful self.
Arise, awake, and learn by approaching the excellent ones. The wise ones describe that path to be as impassable as a razor's edge, which when sharpened is difficult to tread on.
One becomes freed from the jaws of death by knowing that which is soundless, touchless, colorless, undiminishing, and also tasteless, eternal, odorless, without beginning and without end, distinct from Mahat and ever constant.
Relating and hearing this eternal anecdote as received by Nachiketa and as told by Death, the intelligent man becomes glorified in the region that is Brahman.
The self-existent Lord destroyed the outgoing senses. Therefore, one sees the outer things and not the inner self. A rare discriminating man desiring immortality turns his eyes away and then sees the indwelling self.
The unintelligent people follow the external desires. They become entangled in the snares of the widespread death. Therefore, the discriminating people, having known what true immortality is in the midst of impermanent things, do not pray for anything here.
What remains here, unknowable to the self, through which very self people perceive color, taste, smell, sound, touch and sexual pleasures. This is that self asked for by Nachiketa.
Having realized that great and all-pervading self, through which a man perceives the objects in both the sleep and the waking states, a wise man does not grieve.
Anyone who knows proximately this self, the enjoyer of the fruits of works, the supporter of life, etc., as the Lord of the past and the future, does not want to save the self just because of that knowledge. This is that.
What indeed is here is there. What is there is here likewise. He who sees as though there is difference here goes from death to death.
This is to be attained through the mind. There is no diversity whatsoever. He who sees as though there is difference here goes from death to death.
As water rained on an inaccessible height becomes dispersed on lower hilly regions, similarly, one who perceives the selves differently runs after them only.
O Gautama, as pure water poured on pure water becomes verily the same, so also does become the self of the man of knowledge who is given to deliberation on the self.
Of the unborn one, whose consciousness is unflickering, there is a city with 11 gates. Meditating on him, one does not grieve, and becoming freed, one becomes emancipated. This is that.
As the moving sun, he dwells in heaven. As air, he pervades all and dwells in inner space. As fire, he resides on the earth. As soma, he stays in a jar. He lives among men. He lives among gods. He dwells in space. He is born in water. He takes birth from the earth. He is born in sacrifice. He emerges from the mountains. He is unchanging and he is great.
Worship that adorable one, the seated in the middle, who pushes the prana upward and impels the apana inward.
When this dweller in the body becomes detached, when he is freed from this body, what else remains in this body? This is that.
No mortal lives by prana or apana, but all live by something else on which these two depend.
Well, O Gautama, I shall tell you of this secret, eternal Brahman, and also how the self fares after death.
Some souls enter the womb for acquiring bodies, and others follow the motionless in accordance with their karma and in conformity with their knowledge.
Purusha, who keeps awake and goes on creating desirable things even when the senses fall asleep, is pure, and he is Brahman, and he is called the immortal. All the worlds are fixed on him. None can transcend him. This is that.
Just as fire, though one, having entered the world, assumes separate forms in respect of different shapes, similarly the self inside all beings, though one, assumes a form in respect of each shape, and yet it is outside.
As air, though one, having entered into this world, assumes separate forms in respect of different shapes. Similarly, the self inside all beings, though one, assumes a form in respect of each shape, and yet it is outside.
Just as the sun, which is the eye of the whole world, is not tainted by the ocular and external defects. Similarly, the self, which is but one in all beings, is not tainted by the sorrows of the world, it being transcendental.
Eternal peace is for those and not for others who are discriminating and who realize in their hearts him who, being one, the controller and the inner self of all, makes a single form multifarious.
Eternal peace is for those, and not for others, who are discriminating and who realize in their hearts him who, being the eternal among the ephemeral, the consciousness among the conscious, alone dispenses the desired objects to many.
How shall I know that supreme unspeakable bliss which they realize directly as this? Is it self-effulgent? Does it shine distinctly, or does it not?
There the sun does not shine, neither do the moon and the stars, nor do these flashes of lightning shine. How can this fire, he shining, all these shine, through his luster, all these are variously illumined?
Having known the dissimilarity of the senses that originate separately, as also their rising and setting, the intelligent man does not grieve.
The mind is superior to the senses. The intellect is superior to the mind. Mahat is superior to the intellect. The unmanifested is superior to Mahat.
But superior to the unmanifested is the Supreme Purusha, who is pervasive and is indeed without worldly attributes. Knowing whom, a man becomes freed and attains immortality.
His form does not exist within the range of vision. Nobody sees him with the eye. When this self is revealed through deliberation, it is realized by the intellect, the ruler of the mind that resides in the heart. Those who know this become immortal.
When the five senses of knowledge come to rest together with the mind, and the intellect too does not function, that state they call the highest.
They consider that keeping of the senses steady as yoga. One becomes vigilant at that time, for yoga is subject to growth and decay.
It cannot be attained through speech, nor through mind, nor through eye. How can it be known to anyone apart from him who speaks of it as existing?
The self is first to be realized as existing, and then as it really is. Of these two, the real nature of the self that has been known as merely existing becomes favorably disposed for self-revelation.
When all desires clinging to one's heart fall off, then a mortal becomes immortal, and one attains Brahman here.
When all of the knots of the heart are destroyed, even while a man is alive, then a mortal becomes immortal. This much alone is the instruction of all the Upanishads.
Nachiketa, having become first free from virtue and vice, as also desire and ignorance, acquired this knowledge imparted by death, as also the process of yoga in its totality, and he attained Brahman. Anyone else, too, who becomes a knower thus, like Nachiketa, of the indwelling self, attains Brahman.